everybody. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Transportation and Logistics Podcast, powered by Atlanta Dispatch and Humble Bee Enterprises. I'm very excited to be here with the special guest. We got Trey Dortch of Atlanta Transportation Systems and many other things that we'll get into. But before we begin, I wanted to start by emphasizing that health is wealth, my people. Many folks are out here praying for material things, and I'm not going to lie, I've been there. You know, I've definitely been there. But these days, I realize that you can have all the stuff, but without good health, it's kind of meaningless. So, you know, daily, you know, as often as possible, I'm praying to God and thanking God for good health. And, you know, I even just had my first child mention that. But I just had my first child, and I really want to be there ready for the first time he comes to me with his, you know, his chest poked out thing, he about to beat me in basketball. You know what I mean? Like, you gotta make sure that you are putting your health first. So I definitely wanted to just kickstart Black History Month off with that. You know, just very important to keep that at the center of everything. And look, to start the conversation out, Trey, go ahead and unmute yourself, brother. You know, what are you doing today to prepare your body for your 50-year-old self? Trey, you there, my guy? All right, Trey. So, look, we might need to get you to unmute yourself, which is going to be boom, boom, boom. What's up, Trey? How you feeling, brother?
How you doing?
I am blessed, sir. Thank you so much for joining us. So, look, let me repeat that question.
Thank you.
You know, what are you doing today to prepare your body for your 50-year-old self?
What am I doing today? I'm learning about myself. I'm educating myself about myself. At the heart of everything I do is wellness. Like you said, I do a few things in many spaces, but aside from transportation, I have a wellness company, Prime Theory Wellness. We built a wellness studio just for individuals to learn about themselves and really seek optimal health. I mean, and I'm in the underserved communities of Atlanta where I grew up. I'm in Southwest Atlanta, so I really try to speak to those disenfranchised and those underserved people that you know, we have in our community. But I'm always learning about my mental health first. I put that before my physical health. I think it's really important to, like I said, understand yourself and try to have an understanding and work towards that. And then comes the physical health. I mean, at least 3 to 4 days a week, I'm trying to keep my body in optimal health.
Right, right, right. Okay. Well, look, I love that, man. I definitely do. I feel like the taboo, the stigma of not just Black men, but just people in general prioritizing mental health is starting to drop. You know, what do you equate that to anything? Do you think there was anything specific that allowed us to kind of prioritize that?
Well, you're saying that we prioritize it more now, correct?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. We prioritize it more now than any time I can, you know, think of in the past.
Well, like you said, it was kind of taboo. It was kind of, especially in the African American minority communities, like, and that's my daughter. I have a 9-month-old. Excuse me.
Hey, but, congratulations, brother.
Thank you. I heard you. You're a father too. Congratulations to you as well.
Thank you.
But definitely, you know, I think back in the day and just paying attention to my father and uncles and the generations before me, it was a sign of weakness. That's what they were taught. It was a weakness to really show emotion and understand emotion and things like that. So I think our generations, the millennials and under, are really learning to embrace it, understanding that it's not a weakness, that it's not a hindrance to, you know, longevity. It's really a good thing to express yourself and like I said, understand yourself. And the time is now. I love to see it. I love to see people, you know, accepting vulnerability as well. We don't have to keep these guards up. And part of our troubles is this issue with trauma. And and what we're brought into this world seeing and experiencing, especially as African Americans, we got to get that guard down and really get out there and be in tune and understand ourselves and understand others as well.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, look, thank you for sharing that. You and I, we had an opportunity to connect at the Atlanta Black Chambers event earlier in January. And upon hearing your story and just the things that you had going on, I definitely felt it very fitting to highlight you here on the Transportation Logistics Clubhouse. And it was because, I mean, you and your family, man, you guys are doing a lot of things in the logistics space. I guess just to start out, you know, talk about Atlanta Transportation Systems. What is that and how did it get started? And yeah, talk about that.
Well, Atlanta Transportation Systems, a few of my businesses are family-owned businesses, started mostly by my father, Thomas George Jr. And that's why they call me Trey. I'm the third. But, you know, he started Atlanta Transportation Systems right before the Olympics. He's very deep into the political world and into, you know, the business world. And he knew that there was going to be a need coming during the Olympics for sedan service. So he jumped on the opportunity, had a little funding. You know how we talk about keeping your credit together and keeping everything in order. He was able to secure a certain amount of funds, and he was the official sedan service for the Olympics. And once we, you know, that gained traction, I was still very young. I mean, what is that, elementary, middle school. But I had a chance to watch from a front row view of how it was built. But after, you know, the Olympics, we went into the non-emergency transportation with Fulton County. And that was just a great opportunity for us to service the developmentally disabled and senior citizen groups across the city, across the county, rather. And that lasted for well over 10 years. And it was a good opportunity and a good learning lesson. But after after Fulton County contracts, we kind of went into the private sector and we're running, transportation and vans and 15 passenger buses mainly for businesses and, you know, retreats. And you have it. We were trying to get into the private transportation side, but we didn't go into the limousine service again. We didn't go into the luxury vehicle rental at any point during that time. But lo and behold, another opportunity came and we went back into public business, public transportation with MARTA as a subcontractor. So now our biggest contract is working with MARTA and managing the MARTA mobility sector of MARTA. But plus we have our private transportation on the side as well, but I'm always looking to expand.
Gotcha. So for those who don't really know too much about it, what kind of all goes into a non-emergency medical transportation business? Like, who are you guys serving? What does that look like on a day-to-day basis for those who've never heard of it?
Well, yeah, with the non-emergency, I mean, it's just passenger transportation. But we emphasize non-emergency because that's a whole another list of liabilities and function. That's, I mean, it's worth a while when you get into it, but it's a lot of heavy lifting. So with the non-emergency, I mean, we can service anybody as long as it's, you know, not in a medical case, it's not transporting medical equipment, supplies. We just are passenger driven. And going into that, man, we have to staff up. And this is one of the hardest times to really staff up because people are still on the fence about working, going back to work. But we push through that. And then having vehicles. Currently, with our main contract, we're not operating our own vehicles, but we keep our fleet that at one point was over 50, 60. But we've decreased that drastically as we don't have to use our own vehicles. Okay. There's a lot of work that goes into it, making sure that insurance and everything is taken care of. Even though it's non-emergency, it's a very touchy industry.
Right. How often, I mean, is that normal? Is that like a new thing that's, happening where companies such as yourself aren't having to use their own vehicles, like they're able to leverage other vehicles? Like, is that normal?
Well, it depends on where you are. I mean, luckily, it's that case here in Atlanta, and I know it's the same in other places like D.C. and a few other states where they, they don't want that part of the industry, I would say. MARTA is creating public transportation, but I don't think they want it to take on the hiring, the staffing, the day-to-day managerial processes that subcontractors can come in and do.
Right. Okay, cool. So, like, when it comes to the vehicles themselves, that would be something that's issued by a MARTA, by the government entity, and you guys are leveraging those bad boys.
Correct, yes. But like I said before, we still are on the private side as well. Okay. It's not as big on the private side as of yet as it used to be. You know, even with the Olympics, that was private. But now, you know, with these public entities, and I'm sure it's the same in a lot of other markets, where the public transportation has their own fleet and outsources or hires primes to handle the managerial side of things.
Okay, I got you. So you said this is a family biz. I mean, this is a little, this is more so just personal. You know, most folks say it's challenging working with family. I mean, is that an experience that you can, speak to? Like, how is it? Seems like you guys have a lot of family business.
It's not for the faint at heart. I'll be honest. I mean, we all know you treat friends way different than family in most cases. And, you know, while there's love there, sometimes it's a dislike. You don't like how other people think, and it's a much tougher job when it's somebody that's a blood relative. But we've been successful. I know there's been a lot of people who failed at it, but I think I had good teachers. My parents were really big into helping me understand the ins and outs of just business overall. And, you know, they'll probably be the first ones to tell other people not to go into business with family. But we just so happen to succeed. And I hope to do the same thing with my son, my daughters, whoever's interested in the business. Because I have four other siblings who are not as heavily involved. And that's, you know, it's not any dislike, distrust or anything, but they just chose a different path. I latched on to business. I latched on to this transportation, and I've kept it going.
Right. Okay. How would you say, how pivotal would you say your mother was when it came to the business and getting everything started? You said that American Transportation Systems kind of, came together in order to be a front runner to support business with the Olympics, the 96 Olympics in Atlanta. How pivotal was your mom a part of that?
Man, I'm a strong believer that the mother, the wife, the significant other is always the backbone. And by trade, she's an accountant. And so she handles all the financial responsibilities for probably 85% of our business interests. And she is the best at it. She's also in the family, the disciplinarian and the one you don't want to mess with or get on the bad side. So one of the most valuable things she taught me was how to read and understand people, which is an underrated trait to have in business. I mean, if you can really understand, for the most part, I mean, sometimes you're wrong, but understand the intentions and see the directions that other people are trying to go, whether it's people trying to come with partnerships or people you just have to do business with. I mean, I've had a good sense of people, and she definitely instilled that in us very young. But when it comes to the books, which is the most important part of the business, she keeps them airtight.
Okay. Well, you got to love that, man. Nothing works without the numbers being right. So how do you feel like you guys were able to come across, So you're working with the mobility program there with MARTA. Do you feel like they're giving not only the vehicles for you to leverage, but look, let me just ask the question simple. How are you getting the customers? Who are you servicing on the non-emergency medical transportation side of things? I mean, are you guys out selling to different, you know, communities that you can provide this service, or how did you guys come across some of these contracts?
Well, the beauty of this, let's go back to how we acquired the contracts, and that goes back to relationships. My father is a very smart businessman. I like to think I am the same, but we always believed in partnerships. In partnerships and in relationships. A lot of times, that's more important and more effective than money. But he's had a good reputation of doing good business, and you know, over the years, you just know people, and they go in the right directions. You're able to, you know, one, either work with these people down the road, or you get those good recommendations. I mean, if you have a good name in business, it makes it a lot easier for those people like that than those who are coming in new in the business. But even if you're new in the business, I mean, you got to build that relationships, and you got to do good business, especially around here in Atlanta. I know that's how it is here. You got to have a good reputation. And so that's how we do that. But when you talk about getting our clients for the public transportation, that's something that MARTA handles. And that's the beauty of it. We as subs get to do the managerial piece. We do the hiring. We understand the logistical work because we've been in business so long. That's what we do. We don't have to worry about the marketing, the PR, and the things of that nature. On the private side, it goes back to those relationships. It goes back to knowing people, being in the right rooms. And I mean, even when I go to transportation events where 50, 60% of us are owners of some company, you have that 30, 40% who are those that are your clientele, those who need transportation or can create some partnerships in this at the same time. So it, to me, it's always been about relationships partnerships and just a good reputation.
Right, man. I hear that so much that, you know, it takes a long time to build a strong reputation as, you know, somebody that has good work ethics and, you know, just strong business principles, but it's real easy to tear it down. So, you definitely got to be careful with the way that you're moving. I saw that mostly with dispatch services. Like, we know I own Atlanta Dispatch, and it's something that I slow played because I wasn't trying to make the super fast money. You know, I was here for the long haul, and you know, those are the services that I feel like might not still be here. The ones that were, you know, slick with the verbiage, but. You know, wasn't really backing it up with other things. So, no, I hear you, brother. It's definitely about a good reputation and who you know. And that kind of, like I said you got to be in the room. You're attending the conferences. We met at what would you call that? A networking event? You
know? Yeah, that for the most part, I mean, it was networking. It was transportation and logistics event. And we had speakers and the panel and everything. But to me, the most important piece I took from it was the networking opportunities. I have meetings set up over the next 2 weeks with some of the individuals we met that day.
Right. Are you part of any other groups or networks that you feel like have, you know, either taught you how to do some you know, business things or gave you some of the relational connections to further some of your other endeavors?
Oh, man, definitely. Just off the bat, of course, the Atlanta Black Chambers is golden. And they're one of the newer groups. I mean, they've been here for many years, but newer in comparison to a lot of the other groups. But I'm in the Atlanta Black Chamber. I'm in the Atlanta Business League. That's definitely a good opportunity. When you're a member for both of these organizations, you can actually market your companies, your organizations to a large crowd. And then the one that I was actually almost born into was the 100 Black Men, which is a not just a national, it's an international organization with chapters all across the country and in several other countries. And those are three just off the top of my head that have been golden. I have to also throw in there my school, the Florida A&M University, Rattlers. I mean, you got lifelong partners and networks coming from Fort Valley and the Alumni Association as well.
Okay. No, I love it, man. You know, the whole point is, I know that you're involved with, like, you're not just a member of these things, like, you are involved in these things. And, you know, that's what I really wanted to be able to highlight is the fact that you got to take an active role in your community, in these groups, in these associations, so that, you know, you're not just a random face. No, there are people who can actually speak about the things that they've seen you do and, you know, that you've been at these events and you've done these things. So, yeah, that's the main reason I wanted to highlight that aspect is because people just need to become more active in order to get their goals accomplished.
You never know who you're going to be in rooms with, and there's only a few degrees of separation from meeting that one person that could change your future, whether it's in business or personally. You never know.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, look, how about, I mean, for you guys, right? You know, I know that I'm asking you this, and this is going to be a answer that your father would have to give, but like being exposed to these opportunities to kind of put you guys in business for upwards of 30 years now, like, what was that like? Did he already have like a business mindset? Because that's all it's about these days. It's just being exposed to the opportunity and kind of being in the right place at the right time to take advantage of it. Like, was it something that, you know, he already had all this business experience or what?
We can attribute it, I think, to a few places. I know one, my grandfather, who, you know, I didn't know, but I've heard a million stories. He's owned restaurants up the East Coast, and this is back in the time of segregation. He had a day job working for a white-owned establishment, and then at night and at other times, he ran speakeasies and businesses. Starting in little old Toccoa, Georgia, but up the East Coast, and I think a lot of that business acumen came from my grandfather, his father. He talks about how his brothers and sisters had to work as chefs or cleaning up and this and that. He got to run the register and really learn the business, the financial side, and everything else. So that's one place. But my father was also one of Sam Nunn, Senator Sam Nunn's right-hand man. He was one of the first leads of the Democratic National Party. He did a lot of things that, you know, built those relationships early on. So when he was ready to jump out there and pursue his own businesses, he was strapped to go. And I think I learned a lot along the way as well, because even though I am in the family businesses, I still do run some independent of our family businesses, and I can't attribute it to anybody else but a handful of people, especially my parents, though.
Gotcha. Well, I appreciate that. So you guys have other stuff too. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to just like not mention these other things that are logistics related. You guys also have parking lots. What about that? Talk about your parking lots and what, you know, how you guys leverage those bad boys.
Well, that goes back to my father creating a company, Cornerstone Parking, over 20 years old. And he's had the opportunity to partner with one of the larger parking companies in Lanier Parking. We had several of the key parking garages and things of that nature in Atlanta. And then we bought land, parking lots, in different areas, not just here in Atlanta, but other cities. and here comes my mother. I have a house full. But we bought properties in different areas. And, you know, we're always looking for another opportunity. So it kind of seems with that parking is more of a real estate business than a parking company. But it is Cornerstone Parking. And that really has been a gem, too. I mean, you can never go wrong with owning property. But then when you can lease it out for anything from parking 18-wheelers to parking for events or a space that's used for another establishment as parking. I mean, there's several opportunities, and of course, parking garages.
Right. Well, that's kind of the question that I was going to be getting to is, have you guys considered getting, you know, more involved in the semi-truck parking space?
Of course. I'm not going to say we've been getting the inside on everything, but once again, we go to a lot of events, and I know we pay close attention to what goes on in Savannah and several other port cities to see where they're going from the port. You know, they have to leave those ports with goods, and we see all the 18-wheelers traveling, but where do they go? Where are they parked? Where are they settled at? And you want to know those routes, or you want to know those areas where you could get cheap for next to nothing, and nothing's around it but possibly 18-wheeler parking or some access for storage. I mean, so you always have to look at those opportunities that are not the normal opportunities, or not something that you would see every day.
Gotcha. Look, are there any certifications that, you know, you guys have gotten that you feel like has helped any of your companies, be it, you know, Atlanta Transportation Systems or even Cornerstone? Are there any certifications that you would recommend to people who are looking to grow and expand their companies?
For me, I would say number one and number two, DBE and MBE, Disadvantage Business Enterprise, and MBE, Minority Owned Business Enterprise. Go for those certifications. DOT, if you're on transportation, I think that's automatic. You have no choice. But that MBE and DBE has been priceless. You get a lot of those contracts that are necessary and required. If you have your paperwork together, especially with the years we've been in service, you have a good chance of getting these contracts. And I know a lot of people, especially a lot of younger people that I come into contact with, are saying, well, we don't have that experience. We don't have that many years in business. Attach yourself to another transportation company. That's the best advice I can give you. You don't have to do everything by yourself and think that you need to buy and bid on everything outright for your own ownership. Partner with another company. Because as a company goes for these contracts, you could be a subcontractor for them, or you can partner with them and handle a certain aspect of the business and they handle the other half. I mean, there's so many opportunities. So I don't want people to get discouraged and to think that you have to have as many years as we have under our belt. That's not the case. We're always looking for people to partner with and work with to just, you know, take advantage of that. And those certifications that we have are like gold.
I hear you, brother. I hear you. Well, look, I know that I feel like we've been able to go through a lot of this really quickly. But was there anything that, you know, we didn't get a chance to talk about when it comes to either your, you know, any of the passenger vans, sedans that you guys are operating, or any of the ins and outs of the non-emergency medical transportation aspect, or like anything that you feel like you've gotten gain from your hands-on experience that you will want to drop right now?
Well, I know one thing I tell everybody is to start looking to the future, really understanding transportation. One, there are a lot of people in the trucking industry, and I'm sure there's a lot more space in trucking, but look at the unorthodox contracts and look at the unorthodox transportation opportunities, because those can be low-hanging fruit, but I mean, if they're not too extensive and they don't take up 100% of your time, that would allow you, as a smaller company to pick up a few contracts here and there, but also look into the future, the difference in transportation. I mean, what is it going to look like in 5-10 years? Are we going all electric? What are we doing? So we're always looking for innovative ways to offer fleets on the private side and offer transportation. But also looking for that low-hanging fruit. Like, you don't have to hit a home run every time and get a $500,000, million and up contract. It can be some of those $50,000, $100,000 jobs that you pick up that can add up and make you really successful.
Got you. I think that's great advice. You know, I didn't ask this, but I probably should have. You know, how are you guys finding contracts, especially here at the city and county level? What do you do to kind of find those contracts?
You got to dig. You got to have somebody on your team that loves the boring side of things. I'm lucky to have one of those. And my wife would kill me if she heard me say boring, but she's kind of the boring person who likes being online and researching and looking up stuff. You know, that's her thing. And you need to have somebody who's searching every database. I know what's big now is sound.gov. Definitely go on there and make sure you have an account and everything. But go into the county and city websites. There are always RFPs and things that they're putting out that may not be publicized. So have somebody who's a historian or has some background in English and literature or something that really enjoys that part of the job. Because that's another part that you may not talk about. That's a lucrative side too. When you look at people who are actually doing the certifications for different businesses or writing the RFPs and the contracts for different businesses, that's another lucrative side. That does not take a law degree or a specific degree to take on. It takes somebody who loves the research, do the reading, and understand the language to get to these contracts and get things done.
Right. Okay. Well, yeah, man, I agree with that. You know, I was fortunate enough to be able to do my certification myself, but it wasn't because I enjoyed it. I just needed to get that bad boy done. And there's a brother in Atlanta. He's from the east side of Atlanta, Hamza. He speaks to government contracting nonstop. Uh-huh. So if folks in the Atlanta area are seeking to get more information about not only government contracting, but I think he got a lot of local opportunities, I would say holla at that brother. I believe Hamza Sabri, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah. Well, look, brother, would you be open to anybody asking questions?
For sure. If I got an answer, I give it to you. If I don't, I'll give you my email and we'll figure it out together.
All right. So look, I'm turning on hand raising. If there were any questions, please raise your hand now. Definitely bring you up. You can ask your question. But I'm going to leave that open for about 30 seconds just because we do want to be respectful of this brother's time. You know, and while we are waiting on that, I just wanted to say thank you, brother, for one, being receptive at the event. You know what I mean? Like, I was over there kind of waiting for y'all to stop talking just so I could butt in. Like, hey, man, I can't wait to highlight you. But I appreciate you for being so receptive to everything. And
What you're doing is much needed, brother. Like, I think I told you when we talked one time that, you know, I love podcasts. I'm trying to create one for our business. But I never would have thought somebody was really in this space, creating the opportunity to get the education and learn and network at the same time for the transportation and logistics industry. I don't think as many people out here doing what you're doing, and I really respect that.
Oh, anytime. And I'm happy to do it. I get to learn a lot. And like you said, this is networking. You know, I get to meet all of you guys and, you know, see how we can partner up in the future. But with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and turn off hand raising. And, you know, brother, I just want to say until next time, I'm pretty sure I'm going to be seeing you at some more of these events in the Atlanta area. And, you know, to the future, my guy.
To the future. Same here, my brother. Best of luck with everything you're doing.
Oh, thank you, bro. God bless you.